Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Do you remember the Wii? A Nintendo scored a big hit by giving their last console a motion controller. And now Nintendo's newest console has gone on sale in the U.S. So what's new with the Wii U?
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Daslow, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanel here, Tommy. We just had Giant July.
Yeah.
And now we're here in awesome August.
Oh. Yes.
What do you think about that, Adam Knox?
Honest opinion? I love it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Welcome to August. I'm looking forward to August. And, you know, I'm in August as well. But yep. Baldur's Gate 3 comes out Friday Australia time.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
And I'm pumped.
Yeah.
I'm more pumped than I've been for a while about a game.
You haven't been this pumped since you had your enema.
Went to the petrol station and I was
You got an enema at the petrol station.
Is that what they do with an enema? They fucking pump you up.
Yeah.
Come on, man, you can do it. Oh, thanks. I'm gonna get this out of it now. Thanks for popping me up. I'm glad it's August.
BG3.
We're coming into big game festival soon.
Yep.
I'm so pumped.
What else have we got in August?
There's Armored Core and there's some other stuff too.
Yeah.
There's little bloody Pinocchio man.
Little
Demon
P.
Souls Pinocchio man.
He's September, I think.
He's September?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was
told
sooner.
You, if he told you he was me. August, his nose would have grown a little tiny bit.
Damn. Well, he was behind me. And so he told me it was August. And I was like, this feels good.
I love August.
Well, you can do that in Baldur's Gate 3 as well. Some people will do some things to you.
All right.
That's why I'm excited. It's just been a while and I'm looking forward to fucking that bear from the Chinese zoo.
Yep.
Who everyone, did you see
thinks
the bear?
Is a dressed up bear.
It just looks like a bear, man. People don't know what bears or people look like.
Yeah.
Which is how you get into Baldur's Gate 3 territory.
But I will say the number of zoos there are in the world and the number of unscrupulous people there are in the world.
Yeah.
There must be at least one animal in one zoo that's not a real animal. No one's clocked it yet.
There was a time when Hamish and Andy were gorillas.
That's true.
Oh, true, yeah.
Yep.
That maybe the Chinese Hamish and Andy are in there pulling some elaborate prank.
I mean, you know, Hamish does his Lego Masters and then he kind of goes off grid. Maybe that's what he's doing. He's just playing an animal in the zoo.
People are just thinking of the Simpsons episode. Let's be real.
It's weird that people don't climb
Let's be real and talk about the Simpsons.
It's weird that more people don't climb into more zoo enclosures. Animals are so... fascinating.
Yeah.
You think you'd want to get right up there.
You had to do that, right? At the zoo, you had to stop people from jumping in.
I used to work at the zoo.
And
that was above my pay grade.
I'd walk up behind people and be like, man, it doesn't look like that far of a jump, does it?
Yeah.
You would have to stop people because they drop their phones in all the time.
Oh,
that
of
was
course.
The most common thing.
Right,
and then they'd just start climbing over to go get it and be like, hey, the fucking lion's not going to steal your phone.
Mm.
He doesn't know what it is. Yep. B, he'll steal your soul.
Your life, yes.
I was just in Vietnam for 2 weeks.
Clang.
I went on a cruise in Ha Long Bay and they gave like a little, introductory speech on the cruise. And they said basically something about, like, if you're up on the deck taking photos, be careful of your phone because there's plenty of phones down there in Ha Long Bay. And then I just couldn't stop thinking about it the rest of the time I was on the water, like on the boat, just like God, I wonder how many goddamn iPhones and Samsung Galaxies there are just on the bottom of that floor, like underneath us.
If you could
like,
mass call all of them and get the whole beta ring.
Yeah.
Turbulence.
They should set that up just like a light show at night. Looks like the Aurora Borealis. Oh,
there's jellyfish in there. No.
Yeah. No. It's like a, yeah, like a fountain. You make a wish. You throw in your phone.
Yeah.
They're all down there.
Yeah.
And glass is just sand and phones have a lot of glass in them. So if anything, they're returning home.
That's
so
true.
I'm all for it. That's not e-waste. That's good.
I didn't drop it. It jumped out of my hand because it wanted to go back to its family.
Yeah,
Like a great, like a traveler coming back and being like, oh, I mean, it just, the place really touched me. I left a little part of myself in Ha Long Bay, my phone. It's there forever. All of my photos, all my contact details, they're all down there. That'd be kind of nice to know. You know, all your texts, they're just down there.
Good place to go and steal an identity. Get a scuba suit, go down there and get people's bank info.
Oh, okay.
That's like, that would be a good, like the start of Titanic where he's in the little sub exploring the ruins. You just like him just like trying to see how many phones are down there. Come on, man, too soon.
Nah, it's too late if anything. We've had a little break in real life, which has been nice.
Yes.
The episodes haven't been stopping, but we've been
popping,
slopping around
down to
in
the shops.
I went to I went to Vietnam.
Very different couple of weeks of you and I had.
Yeah. I went to Vietnam for 2 weeks. I think I sent you guys one photo from my trip. It was a photo of a Mario vape pen that I saw in a night market in Hoi An.
You also sent us a photo of your hot dog legs, you know, when they like, are they hot dogs or legs, next to the beach with an invisibly glary switch screen playing Pikmin 4. Did you manage it? Could you do it on the beach?
I could do a little bit, yeah. I got a little bit in there. I had some cover, but it did feel like my gaming experience was severely compromised by the beautiful weather I was in. And then I was like,
you're you're starting to understand what it's like.
Draw having, those curtains, brother.
Yeah, I know, having the voice in your head of like, would it be so bad to go sit indoors for just half an hour and play this game that we've been waiting to come out for 10 fucking... Remember in 2015 when Miyamoto was like, it's nearly done?
Fuck.
With Pikmin 4?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I don't remember that. Mm. Well, I'm glad they worked on it. We'll talk about it in a bit, but Pikmin 4 is fucking real good.
It is real good. But yeah, in the meantime, hey, look, maybe in a year's time, we could be playing these games on a console that might have better glare protection on it.
Well, I don't know if you'll be playing any games from the previous generation, because part of what's happened with this new leak of information about the Switch 2...
More of a lot of the same, but a lot more like proper confirmation of, dev
the
kits going out.
Dev kits and like the parts developers and stuff like that.
Going to third-party developers, which are the people who have said, can we not have backwards compatibility on the Switch 2? Because it means we'll sell less games, is true.
Mm.
The third-party developers are the ones that you go to and there's like some guy fucking smoking crack in the kitchen and you're like, you know what? I should have stopped at the second party. This is probably... I can hear birds.
That's my Uber. I'd better go.
Yeah,
but yeah, you're right. They're still... The thing I saw, you probably saw the same thing, like that it's definitely technically possible.
Yes.
But that they're still talking about it in a business way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which I think it would be poorer, I don't know.
In terms of optics and, you know, consumer sentiment, like just being like, no, we've decided not to because we want to make more money.
They'd be so far behind the eight ball and every other ball on the pool table because everybody else has put a lot of effort in, I suppose, to make backwards compatibility happen. It's a huge part of people sticking with a certain type of console as well, is like the PlayStation 4 people carried over to the 5 because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the Xbox people to a lesser degree, evidently. But I would be real annoyed.
Yeah.
But I still buy it, so what does it matter? That's what they're banking on.
We spent 6 years bemoaning the fact that, like all of these great Wii games you have to just buy again, even if they're not, you know, completely remade, and the virtual console doesn't even exist in the same format that it used to. Mm. And like, look, I'm sure that they'll be looking at the financials and being like, well, you know, we got so many new people to the Switch that weren't even gamers or hadn't been gamers for 10 years. Will they cop one generation of us, you know, kind of taking the piss, and then we'll have to do full backwards compatibility?
I doubt it. Because they had it with the Wii U, because people didn't buy the Wii U, so the games coming out again on the Switch, people were happy about because they didn't have the Wii U to play those games.
Mm. Right.
If the Wii U had sold as many fucking, what is the equivalent of a copy for a piece of hardware?
Units. Oh,
damn, we got that's three, a cool word.
Three absolute units right here.
Get a load of Quan and Ben over here.
They got away with it because of that, but they won't do it again. And
was the Wii? Did the Wii have GameCube backwards?
It did.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's
and
a
the
big...
Wii U had Wii backwards compatibility as well. The Switch was
the outlier.
Yeah.
I think a part of it too with the Switch. Obviously, a big part of it is Nintendo's nearsightedness. But I think a big part of it going from the Wii U to the Switch as well was the Switch was this little handheld thing, and the mm-hmm. Wii U used CDs
CDs.
And obviously that doesn't excuse them being able to like transfer things over from the eShop purchases. But I think now that the way that they're talking about this as a, it sounds like it's, you know, it is the Switch 2. It's using all the same, it's cartridges. Mm-hmm. And I think, I think they've said a lot about how they just really do want to keep people in that ecosystem. And that to me says you're letting people bring these games over, because otherwise... Yeah, why are you took like their thing of we've got so many people now that we missed for a couple of generations. We want to keep them around, and yeah, I mean, look, I still wouldn't put it past them, but it's I've been reading the Console Wars book about the early like battle between Sega and Nintendo, and even just then, like them announcing the Super Nintendo after the Nintendo, and it being like, oh, it's all new games, and this new console can't play all the old ones, and people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? And it nearly sinks them. And it's like, it's so interesting that, because every company kind of does it now. Like it you know, there are issues with backwards compatibility with almost everything, even if it's like mostly perfect. There still are these gaps of like, you can't get a lot of PS3 stuff on a PS5 now. Like it's funny that that was such a big issue back in the day, but it's still, there's still no perfect answer.
Yeah. It all ebbs and flows, and I've seen like news clips from then of people being like, well, I'm not buying my kid a fucking second thing.
Yeah.
He's already got one thing.
Yeah.
One kid, one thing. That's all I've dedicated myself to for this particular kid. Another kid comes along, he gets a Super Nintendo. Next kid gets a 64.
Oh.
The middle kid gets a Virtual Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Fuck you, Malcolm.
Yeah, hate being the eldest.
There's a there's an insane bit in the book where they're talking about how Target had a just incredibly lenient returns policy at the time. Just like you could bring back anything from however long ago you had it, didn't even need to be fully boxed and get a refund, and then they would send it off. So when the Super Nintendo comes out...
My loom is broken.
Pretty much. When the Super Nintendos come out, people are bringing back their original Nintendos to Target that they bought in like 1980s, like five years ago.
The ultimate trade-in deal.
Right.
Yeah.
And Target are like sending them back off, and Nintendo have to go meet with them and go... You're killing us here. Like, how long are you going to let this go for? Like, in 30 years' time, when we have hardware that's like six generations down the line.
Yeah, inflation.
Are you going to let people bring in a Game Boy and refund it and trade it in for that because it doesn't play the new games? Like,
it's also the fact that everything is just a very similar computer now.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any hardware. It's not necessary. But the other stuff that I found kind of interesting, I guess, about like the pretty concrete seeming details about this, we've been talking about, obviously, the Switch 2 has been lurking behind a little corner, peeking its head out and then pretending it's not there, hiding behind a pot plant like for that, a while now.
Like that. Remember that tweet they sent out when they were about to announce the Switch? And it was like a photo of like a person in like a big Mario costume just peering from behind a curtain.
I don't know if that happened.
It was literally like all their social media was like, we're having a special announcement about some new hardware going live tomorrow at this time. And it was like...
Special announcement? Mario's a pervert.
It really was that. It was like... It immediately became a meme of people being like, this is the weirdest way to announce this.
But now that third-party people have had it, anonymous people have sent, you know, there's pretty concrete stuff. No OLED screen, it seems like this time it'll be back to some other, you know, like an LED screen.
Which is a shame,
Yeah, that OLED switch is real nice.
But I'm sure they'll do, you know, 2.5 years in, bring out the OLED version.
Yeah. There's also... You know, other types of technology, like the, I don't fully
QLED?
Understand it. Yeah, mini LEDs and all sorts of things.
Oh, yeah.
But the other one is that there won't be much more RAM, so it won't be like that much of an upgrade, which I also think would be, would make sense probably, because it will retain the same sort of concept of being yank it out, go on the bus, forget about your worries.
The bus, only the bus.
But that's all they've shown recently. It started off as parties in 2017.
Yeah. Yank it out and get on the bus. Bloody hell. What are you, like, pervert Mario over here? Hey. And then I got off, my dad.
And that's the thing. They let me on the bus with my dick already out and your thing. So if anything, they intimated that it was fine.
They were more annoyed when I put it back in. This wasn't
excuse
the deal.
Me. Your Honor. Yeah, because I think it was like a month ago we saw the rumor that it would have the same power as, a PS4? Was that right?
I think
handheld stuff tends to be sort of a weird version of the generation before,
I
guess, often. So, I don't know. It'll be next year as well.
This seems like definitely in terms of, like, it's in its seventh year now. Consoles never hang around for that long.
Yeah.
And, I'm mostly just excited to see what they've got lined up software-wise, because I feel like with the Wii U, they kind of had to quickly move on from that because it had flopped. So they didn't really... They got there in the end, and they did have some great stuff on it at launch, one of which was a Wii U holdover. But with this, because they've just continued to sell so many Switches, they've just kind of been able to work on their launch lineup for this in the background and sort of have the time to put their best foot forward and work out, the time to make their move and make sure they've got all the software lined up. Because I think there's a lot of things that you would assume that they're working on that we haven't seen anything yet on the Switch, so they'll probably be held over for here. I'm just excited to see, what their move is.
I don't know. For some reason, I'm not as... What's the equivalent of rose-tinted glasses but looking into the future?
Oh, great question. There must be a short way
what's
of
a backwards
that.
Glasses?
Backwards glasses?
An ass cover?
What's something that
makes... A blindfold?
Right?
Okay. I think you're wearing a blindfold.
Or blinkers, right? Yeah, you're
the
blinded.
Blinkers.
Yeah,
I was going to say something that makes you see worse.
The shit blinkers.
Beer.
I guess Metroid Prime 4 would be one of them, you'd imagine,
but that's,
at this point.
That's weird, right, that it's been announced for the Switch.
Yeah, that's why I think it is, because the Switch stuff has been so all over the shop for a long time. Who knows? The writing's been on the wall for this for ages, and now they've gone over it in thicker marker.
Yeah.
Not even them going, this is the thing. Like, they're so tight-lipped that they must... I'm sure, people get annoyed at them for the amount of speculation there is, but they're like, hey, we're not leading this. We're just telling you there's new Switch games coming out this year.
We just had to send out all the dev kits to our fucking big mouth friends who can't... It's been there for 10 seconds and they're writing to Eurogamer.
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Oh, thank God we get an Assassin's Creed on this new Switch. Thank God those dev kits have gone out.
Yeah. It'll all be... backwards compatible is my prediction.
Surely.
I think
surely.
So. Yeah. Yep.
So sorry for making it so that it won't be now, everybody.
Yeah.
But
and there'll be Super Mario Odyssey 2 and Mario Kart 9.
Maybe.
And Metroid Prime 4. And at some point, Tears of the Kingdom 2.
I guess.
Breath of the Wild 3, Tears of the Kingdom 2.
Correct. : Dead Reckoning Part 3.
Even if you've got a regular Switch, though, I want to get into this if we may.
If it please the court.
If the judge will shut the fuck up for a second.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I'm tired of hearing you gossip about potential new games consoles. Yeah.
How do you think that'd go in court if you told the judge to shut the fuck
up? Hey, whoa. Clam it. I think he'd respect you. It'd be...
Zip it. No, I think you get contempt of court and you go to jail.
You ain't a court. That'd be what I'd say.
Yeah.
This is a kangaroo court.
And it'd be like, shit, he got me.
My issue isn't with
the
building.
It's contempt of me.
It's with you, you fucking whitehead cunt.
There's a ton of good games to play on the Switch right now, and I have been loving playing the holiday destination game of 2023, Pikmin 4.
They're talking about it in Hoi An. They're talking about it in Hanoi. They're talking about it at Ha Long Bay, folks.
Someone who should learn how to talk to a fucking judge. It's such a good game.
Yeah. Why? It's really good.
Pikmin 4.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Pikmin's 4.
Pikmin.
You go on a little holiday in that. Oh. We didn't even need to pay for airfare.
Yeah.
You're on a rescue mission.
Your Honor.
To the fire.
Get off the court stuff.
You're on a... You're sent to a planet to do a rescue mission. That planet's got big shit, a living room.
Yeah.
It's...
Honey, I've been shrunk.
You've been regular. The planet's been blown up from your perspective.
All right.
It's the least important part about the game. It's so good. I just right up top, if you've never played any of the Pikmin, don't worry about it. You can go straight into this one.
They've and I clearly, play yeah, it. There's been 10 years since the last one, and I think at least, right? And
yeah.
They clearly have designed this one to be a, yeah, a re, like a.
It's a, like a reboot, a kind of.
Yeah, it almost should have it. Yeah.
The characters from the first three show up and are acting as though those ones never happened. So I think it's just just a bit of a soft go again,
yeah,
which is, I believe, the industry term for them. And I had so much. I tore through this thing, really loved it. It
tore
just,
that ass up.
Oh man, it's how I would have phrased it if I was braver. I could not have enjoyed this game much more than I did. I think it's just like a really the Pikmin series. I went through all of them before.
That's right.
And have just
one was tough.
One was a little stressful, but it turned out fine. Two is bigger, but maybe to the point of being bloated. Three combines the first two in a good way, but then four outdoes everything that does and then doubles the length, but like in an interesting,
adds
consistently
a lot of like,
fun way.
Yeah, quality of life stuff and just like kind of little things that have sort of become more prominent in games in the gap between three and four, like you build it. You've got like kind of a skill tree kind of thing for your little dog guy. Not so much a skill tree, but you're like upgrading abilities and stuff, which you didn't really have in the other ones.
Lots of small bits and pieces. Like it's a very Nintendo version, as are the other ones, of this kind of like, I guess, strategy game that it has a lot of those things, but it goes, well, why does it need to be like that? We'll just make it simpler like this. And you're getting your Poochie points. I forget his name. Ochi. Ochi the dog. You get he's your new pal. So in two and three you had other little guys who you could delegate tasks to. Now that guy is a dog and he's a cute dog and you can jump on his back if you wanted, which you couldn't do with the guys, which a bit of a shame. But with the dog, you can, and it's just small incremental changes on the previous games, but it's all condensed down into just this like ultimate version for me of what those games have done. For
the last three. Like I think you were talking with one and two about how you'd have your little crowd of Pikmin, and you can very easily like lose sight of them or lose them as you're wandering around. And now being able to have them all right on the back of the dog, it just a little thing that just they clearly went, what's a way of just centering this and making it a bit less like that being an annoyance and a challenge for people that isn't meant to be a challenge in the game.
Right.
And he can, you can use him to like knock down walls and stuff. Just these little bits of busy work that sort of got in the way, I think, in the older ones and didn't so much feel like a challenge or part of like the timing of it. Like, you've got a wall, so you use him to knock down the wall. And meanwhile, you have your little guys, like you can set him off on tasks that are a bit more just specific to him.
You can upgrade him so that he can carry objects on his own. He can swallow them up and get bigger and bigger objects. He can do that work for you. He can charge attack and stuff, but then he's got a little jump he can do, but is a little limited. So like there is a difference between you and him where like you can make the Pikmin charge. He can't. If you're on him, he can't. That's my only real problem with the game, is like the controls can be awkward in it regularly.
There's a little thing where you open your little menu that's got like your commands for him and your little item pack, and I'm always pressing the wrong button for that and instead pushing one of the little shortcuts on the D-pad. For some reason my brain just thinks it should be on the D-pad.
Right. And you can get like, you can, that D-pad, you can assign different items and stuff too, but they're not represented on screen anywhere, so you just have to remember them. And I've been getting them a bit wrong sometimes. And like if you're on the dog, you can't send your Pikmin to charge, and sometimes I will, but it just charges with Ochi, and that it's a different thing.
You have to hop off to send him out to do
only little small things. Little things that will bother you in specific circumstances if you're not like really paying attention to what you're doing with your hands, which you should be anyway, I guess. But like,
Your Honor,
I dropped the phone. I wasn't paying attention to my hands. Now the bay has claimed yet another. It's structured so in just like this really Moorish, always one more thing to do, almost in like it's nothing like Civilization, but that same thing where every time you finish one task, it's made clear the next thing you should do.
Yeah.
And they're all quite bite-sized, so it's very easy to just get in this satisfying chomp loop.
Let's talk a little bit more about, like, sort of structurally what it is. So you'll be in an area, you're plucking out these little Pikmin. They're little seeds that grow out of the ground, and you have yeah, yeah, various different ways of growing more of them. There's different coloured ones that you find that all have different abilities. Some of them can move things underwater. Some of them are fire resistant. And you're going around little areas trying to find treasures, and you're getting your little Pikmin to carry them back to your ship.
Yeah.
Different sized treasures need more Pikmin to carry them.
And provide different amounts of energy, obviously. Yeah. You're trying to reboot your whole system to go and rescue more and more of your little mates. Olimar's lost somewhere. And, yeah, you're basically just grabbing a bunch of shit,
yeah,
taking it somewhere and watching the numbers go up.
Grabbing some shit, and then, yeah, you'll have a little bridge that needs building, so you're sending your guys to do that. You might have a little fence that's electrified, so only your little yellow guys can take that down, and you're just kind of gradually, you're on a time limit each day, so you're kind of gradually kind of pushing through, sort of getting rid of all the finding the treasures, getting rid of the obstacles, making a little bit more progress each time. And then dotted around the levels, there's these caves, some of which are these basically dungeons that are four or five different levels that are very much more like kind of self-contained. There'll be a floor. You know when you've cleared everything off that floor and you move on. And then a different type of cave, which are these little kind of battle things that you do, which are these kind of competitive you versus someone else trying to get as much treasure in the level as you can in like a 4 or 5 minute time limit.
It's always been the thing that the games have been about, Dandori, which is like time management, basically, and optimizing the way you're doing multitasking.
Mm. Right.
And they say it out loud this time. And
a lot.
the people you're combating against are just fucking obsessed with Dandori to the point that I was like, guys, get a fucking personality, dude.
Relax a bit.
Yeah. I'm so stressed
Miss
out.
Miss some appointments. Fuck. Yeah.
I do find that really funny that it was like clearly a background principle slash inspiration for the first three. And then this time it's so front and center. They're not talking in metaphor at all. It's just straight up, this is what you're doing. Mm. I kind of love it.
It's silly.
It's like a cult. There's like,
all the personality of the people who you're competing against in those little match areas, the people you're trying to rescue, they've been turned into plant people by the wildlife of the planet. And you beat them and they get knocked out and you give them a potion and they come back or whatever later on.
Yeah.
And there's heaps of these survivor people who you're trying to rescue who gather around your like home base that you go to every morning. And they all have a fun little personality. There's not a ton to it, but like the writing's cute.
Yeah.
And you know, you'll get like, oh, I'm the influencer person who came here to blog. Oh, I've lost my phone at the bottom of the bay though, so I'm fucked. And you know, a ton of different types of people who you meet. Some of them give you little missions that you'll be doing on the day that you'll kind of just do as you play anyway. They're not really something you have to think about.
I think they're a way to get you more of those resource things that you need to buy items and build bridges and stuff quite easily. Because, there's none of the missions or anything that I've gone like, oh, okay, I'm going to set out to do that. It's just you play the game and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, you cleared the challenge of, have 8 Pikmin in your team. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah, they're just a cute little progress meter or whatever. But I enjoy running around and talking to those people, and they've got just enough to say that it's nice.
Hmm. Yeah, it's a nice new thing from the other games, having this little outpost where you're like, you're walking around talking to people, and then, you're going to talk to your little captain guy to be like, all right, I'm ready to head out. Like, it's a nice little touch to just have this little base where you can, and you can look at all your little treasures you've collected. You can do little practice Dandori battles and stuff like that. And then you've got these night missions.
Yeah.
Which are a new thing for this game where...
As are the Dandori battles, and there's like sort of Dandori levels where it's basically a puzzle level of like figure out the best way to do this in X time and you'll get a different medal for how quick you do it.
Yeah. And the night battles are, they're a new thing, and they're like basically like a tower defense thing where each level has... You have three little bases that you find in each main level, and then each of them has their own kind of, yeah, knight version that you go to. You've got a little base that you're trying to protect. You're using special glow Pikmin for this one. And just, yeah, time limit. You have to keep the base alive. And then if you do that, you get a little medicine. And then you use that to cure the little leaf guys that you found, which then put more people in your base.
And that's the thing, is that everything you're doing in one part then feeds onto something for you to do in the other portion of it, that feeds onto, oh, now here's this other level and here's a bigger thing, but I need an onion to get more Pikmin to get that. So I need to go find the onion. You can get Ochi to sniff out a particular thing you want, and he'll take you to the part of the level that has the nearest onion or this type of Pikmin or whatever. And it just all flows so well from one thing to the next that I lost just so much time without realizing it. I didn't lose the time. I spent it on something I was enjoying.
You dandoried it.
I dandoried it. The time was going to go anyway. But it's really just pleasantly laid out, where everything is, there's something engaging you all the time.
There's always something on the horizon. Yeah. Like you have your time limits and your levels are so perfectly designed. And so for pretty much all the Pikmin, except for the red ones that you get at the start, you'll find some of them in a cave, and then you have like a limited resource of them. And that if you lose them, any of them, the only way to get more of them is to go back into that cave until you find a little onion specific to that color and bring it back to your ship. And then you can like create more of them very easily. So you'll have a lot of them where you're really running low on them, or you've lost all of them and you're like, oh, I don't want to go back into the fucking cave. And then you'll be kind of pottering around and you sort of see the little onion in the distance and you're like, oh, thank God, if I can just get that back to the base, then I'm set here and I don't have to worry about these little rock bastards anymore.
These blue Pikmin will mean fuck all to me after I can make infinite
And
of
God,
them.
It's good just then treating them as absolutely expendable as soon as you've got the means to make more.
Because if you like kill an enemy and then a certain color brings it back to your onion to suck it up, it will generate new ones. Yep. There's little pellets that will do the same thing. Yeah.
And the environments are just, I feel like with it being on this current hardware, they're able to like flex out a bit more with the environments that you're in.
The
Little Man Big World, like they were pretty, they had to keep it pretty in check in the first three. It was clear that you were in like someone's backyard or whatever, but in this, without giving too much away, there's like you do end up in these bigger areas where you're like, oh, this is like an actual place. Like,
yeah. Well, like the first level, there's like a sort of little prologue thing where you're in like a living room level. And it looks great. Like it's just a fun, the camera is brought in a little bit more. You can bring it in to like ground level, which you couldn't really do in the other ones. It was always a sort of an
above. More fixed. Yeah. Right. This is more sort of like, third person action game.
Seeing the distant like focus out. Stuff
blurred.
Speaking of focus, pay attention.
Fucking hell!
The out of focus stuff in the distance. The only way I've communicated with people recently is by going. So my thumb's moving to press B to get everyone's attention, but
your family must be hating you.
They stop paying. Seeing all just the stuff like behind the level, like if you're in one of the caves, it now looks like you're in a little aquarium somewhere.
Right. That's it. I didn't love the caves in 2, and for whatever reason, they're maybe just a bit better designed here.
The
or
caves are
like
a lot more combat focused in 2, and now there's a bit of goals.
There's a degree of like you have little bits that will be behind bars so you can slip through, but Ochi can't. So all of a sudden you're like, you can't use your little charge attack, or have to be a bit more creative and think on your feet a little more about how to get through.
Dandori, baby.
That's Dandori, my man.
I'm going to change my name to not Adam Dory, have a son named Daniel or a daughter named Danielle. I can do it either way.
Yeah.
And that's their life from then on. They have to do so much shit all at the one time.
Dan, Dory, back at it again with the finding shit in 2 minutes time. I love the thing of...
Such a Pikmin guy.
I love the thing of, you're trying to rescue the main guy from the first couple of games is like really cool. It's a bit like... It's a bit Mario is missing. Like, where's the great man Olimar?
And you're finding like diary entries of his. And you did that in 3 a bit too. It's so satisfying. It's all quite simple, I guess, and like relatively easy-ish for most of the time. As it gets further on, like some of the later of the challenge levels can get hard.
Right. It's got a thing where that's new for this one, which again speaks to how they're trying to introduce this to a new audience, get some people in and make it seem a bit less stressful, where you can rewind time. So at the end of a day, if you've lost a lot of Pikmin, you can choose to go back and do it again, which I've not been doing. I'm a bit like, that's...
Even during a day, you can
It'll come up.
Autosave every couple of minutes.
I'm ignoring all of that. I'm just like, this is, you know, you lose a bunch. That's how you play it. But it's, you know, it's interesting that that's in there. Because there was a thing with Miyamoto during the week where he was talking about why this series has never become as big as other big Nintendo IPs. Mm. And he's like, I think it's because people just get... They just get really stressed about the idea of all their Pikmin being killed. And I'm like, it might be, I love Olimar, but it might be that you don't have like a clear mascot dude for this series, as evidenced by in this one.
Yeah.
You just make your own guy.
The strict time limit of the first one as well is the thing that I had in my head about the whole series from then on.
Mm.
And it is there in the first one, but it's actually fine. It just makes you feel like you're under pressure.
Yeah.
Right.
And it really isn't like that here. You've got infinite days, basically. Mm. Each day has a limit, but if you don't get something done, you go back the next day. If you've carried something halfway to the base, it's halfway to the base the next day. Like, you're fine.
And it's one of those games where you really do feel like, I kind of feel like I have to 100% it, because it tells you in each area how much you've done, and it's like the idea of moving on and not going through every little nook and cranny of that area just feels like...
Little gold flower badge next to the level.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You feel like a king.
It has a weird fake ending that I got to last night where
this is weird.
It brings up the credits and I was like, this clearly, it's kind of leading you towards this thing, and I thought, there'll be a wrinkle here, and you do it, and there's like on the level select screen, there's like kind of still a big gap at the bottom of the screen. I'm like, that's just bad design. And then credits are rolling. I'm like, this, okay. And then there's like, it's not just like some post game stuff. It's like, this is still the game. We're still playing the game. It's really weird.
It's like halfway through, but
I think it's meant to be like a gag, like a fake out ending.
I think
thing,
so
but
too.
It's, but it's not played like that. It's not some games do the credits and then there's like a. This just like lets them all roll
they
through.
They all go and then they're like, oh, wait, fuck. And then go back. But
there's like earnest, nice jazz music playing over the credits. It's like, this is. This really feels like the end of the damn game.
It's very similar to the end credits too. And I just ate up everything in this. Really enjoyed it. Easy jumping in point for the series. Looks great. The music's really fun.
Mm.
The sounds of all the Pikmin will haunt you in your sleep. Like, I hear them if I'm playing the game.
The sounds of them dying. Seen the little ghost drift up.
Just
is...
a little hip.
Yeah.
If you're like walking around with a bunch of the same type, they'll start singing a little tune.
Yeah,
stuff like that. It's just so thoughtfully made and enjoyable.
Seeing my little guys get fucked up is devastating.
Oh, when you fuck up and then 50 of them get hit by something that was clearly coming towards you.
Yeah.
Oh, the pressure of being a general.
Yeah, and your little guys back at base are radioing you, being like, "Phew, you've lost a lot here."
Yeah, you've got your mates back home who are not lifting a fucking finger out on the field, but they've got a whole bunch to say about your performance.
It's like they're all just watching you on a screen, and they're all radioed up. Anyone can just buzz you in and be like, "Phew, bit of a mistake there. Do you want to maybe go back and do it all again? Do you want me to come in and help?"
But then the goal of you to be like, no, I won't use the time travel that we have. I'm doing this without save
scumming. No, I want to live with my mistakes. I'm a purist.
Right, but do they want to? Don't care.
Mm. It's like Elden Ring. There shouldn't be a difficulty level in here. Fun ass game. And really polished.
Really
looks great.
It.
It's a... I think you said this in our chat, and I agree. It's making a run for number one for my game of the year.
I have had a really good time with this in a way that I don't think any other game this year has, done for me.
It's very like pure video game.
It's the way it's laid out. It's just here's this level, this level, this level. Do this. Like a bunch of boxes you can tick in a satisfying way. That's showing you the next box as you're ticking off the other box. Just a really good feeling loop with like enough variation in what you're doing and enough like the thing of the time management and the delegating the tasks and everything, it's just really all consuming to me, you know. It really gets my focus because you've got so much to think about at any one time, but not so much that you get stressed by it.
And you can, like, it is sort of saying to you, hey, you need to get these guys to do this, but don't just stand around waiting for them. At the same time, get these guys to go and do this. Mm. But you also, you won't really fuck it up if you don't do that. It's very much built for, like, it's logging how many days it's taken you to do the thing. Right. So it's very much, I think, based around the idea that you could get to the end and be like, okay, it took me 30 days in the game to do it. Mm-hmm. Now that I know where everything is, I'm gonna do a run where I really work on
efficiency
maximizing.
Max, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because I'm not great at, like, yeah, well, I'm going to need those guys eventually, so I may as well wait for them to do this and, like, but there would be a way to play this where you can, like, super get in the zone and be like, I've got four different units that are off doing different things. Everything's kind of working in sync.
And you get more and more that way as you go. And Ochi can give commands too, so you can go into the map and then, like, send him somewhere and figure it out that way. And, there was some other thought I had. I need to do, if I have a thought, I need to absolutely leap on that opportunity.
The little Pikmin are building Adam's brain right now. Yeah. To play.
people are radioing from home. What are you doing? You've stopped.
Can I go back in time to when I had that thought? No, fuck.
Maybe you want me to say I didn't like this game at all.
Right.
But it's like it's a purely a taste thing. Like, objectively, it's well made. Visually, it has a clear style. The music is very, again, of a style. I just found it way too easy and simplistic. I don't know if it's, I've got three plates spinning at all times, and it's just I like to multitask.
Yeah,
it takes its time to develop for a fair while at the start, right, too. Like, they really fucking yap at you at the start and over-explain a lot.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The back half of it gets a lot more to probably where you'd feel more
like challenged. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so, I can imagine being like someone who's played through all three of them, or just like a deep strategy game head.
Yeah, right.
And like going into this, like if you've gone for like speed runs of all three of the first of these and coming in and being like, hell yeah, here's Pikmin 4. I can imagine the start of this feeling a bit frustrating because it is very much like it's not only reintroducing you to the series, but it's introducing you to like this concept of game as well. Like, it assumes that you're not like someone who's done a lot of like resource management games or like unit management games,
right?
So it is pretty like hand-holdy and very, very relaxed pace in the first like couple of levels.
Totally. It remains for most of it like the Nintendo version of a management game,
right,
where it doesn't like, it's the same as if you're a big FIFA head, Mario Soccer isn't going to be the whatever that's actually called, the
Mario Strikers?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to feel maybe simplistic, but if you get
Oh, and it's also not called FIFA anymore.
Oh, yeah. It's
EAFC or whatever. EA Soccer FC.
Something. Maybe like it's just Lord. FC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Filthy Casuals.
Oh, shit.
That's nice of them.
Another one.
We got to sue EA.
That'd actually be really fun.
Yeah. But yeah, and like I said, and it, you know, I currently play like 4X strategy games and stuff, and it's just, it didn't give me a challenge at all, which is how I also felt about another game we're going to talk about today.
Right.
Which is not to say that either of these games are bad, just that I didn't enjoy playing
Didn't
them.
Scratch that itch.
Yeah.
That's fine for something to, not align with a taste.
Yeah.
That's normal. I reckon that's life.
Not liking the taste of every single thing that passes your lips.
Mm.
I've seen Fancy Feast ads. Even cats have very particular tastes.
Yeah. True. Well, yeah, this is I think great game. There's a demo of it on the eShop, which gives you like basically the entire first area to go through. You can get a good like 2 or 3 hours out of it. So I'd recommend giving that a go because it's a very, very nice time.
Even if you have played the other three as well, and are like, I kind of have my fill of Pikmin. I do think because I did that and the Dandori levels and the challenge stuff, the battles. There's enough new ideas in here from the other Pikmin games that it really does feel like, I had the feeling of playing this of like, well, I don't know how they'd ever do a 5. This feels like every idea that you could kind of take Pikmin towards.
So many new ideas. What is the bloody magazine stand? Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right.
If you love that joke and you don't like Pikmin 4.
Yeah. It's funny. Yeah. No, I agree. Like, this is a lot of... there's been a few kind of Nintendo things like this recently where it's like, yeah, where do you go from here? Like, feels like from here you could make the areas bigger and more visually impressive if you're on different hardware.
Stuff in here,
yeah, I'd
sure.
love to just see a DLC pack of this, of just like new areas. Like, it feels like they could just treat this as they just keep adding to this version.
Yeah, it's a real kitchen sink sort of thing, and the kitchen sink's fucking massive and you can drown in it.
There is a literal kitchen sink in this.
Whoa.
It's a game changer. I don't know how that doesn't appeal to you. There's a sink.
Just it's a sink in it. It reminded me of It Takes Two. So I was instantly put off.
Oh yeah, but being in a house for like just a little thing where they've not done that kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's in any of these gardens. Is like, oh my god, I'm on a couch.
It really is one of those things too, where the charm of it is a big part of the enjoyment of it too. So yeah, as with all things, if it doesn't resonate, it doesn't resonate with me. It plugged right in, to whatever I'm looking for. Mm. So yeah, big recommend from me. But the demo being so big, yeah, absolutely give that a try.
Yeah, totally.
And it carries over to.
And it's good because you get. Like, I did the demo before the game came out, which was good because the tutorial is a bit, you do need to push through that a bit because it's very, it's very yappy, it's very hand-holdy, especially if, like, it being this weird thing where it is a soft reset, but it's also number 4, so it's kind of telling you all this stuff that if you've played any of them recently, it's like, I know.
Yeah.
Just get me in there. Give me the fucking dog. Stop holding out the fucking dog from me.
There are a couple other small things I remember like trying to make a mental note of, like, oh, that was like a little annoying in it or whatever, but it's all pretty minor and I enjoyed the heck out of my time
it's
with it.
It's got that Nintendo polish.
It's a real Nintendo game. Like that, whatever that Nintendo thing is, that for some people they're like, I don't care about the Nintendo versions.
Yeah, true.
You know, like that is.
I don't want the gold sticker seal of Nintendo approved.
That's the thing, and I think out of the three of us, for sure, you're the closest to that end of it.
Because, yeah, probably. Like,
if you grew up with Nintendo stuff all the time and all of that, it has an impact where, like, that when they get it right, it just fucking completely locks step with me.
Yeah, right. Right. That is not something that I care, because like Mario Odyssey. I didn't really care for. And it has such that level of polish. But I do like Tears of the Kingdom, and it's for different reasons, obviously. Yeah. It's not the same, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, really good game.
Fun game. Honestly, good game.
It's that classic Nintendo first party thing running on their hardware. Tears of the Kingdom side runs great. You know, it doesn't feel like you're playing a... you know, playing a downgraded game on old hardware. You know, when they do what they do well on their hardware, it's like you just forget that this thing's 7 years old. It's like, oh, this everything I'm playing here feels so fresh. Like, it kind of makes you forget everything about the decrepit, ancient little thing that you're playing it on and almost dropping into Harlong Bay. Young Australians have never been more lonely. Yet loneliness is rarely discussed and often misunderstood. Season 2 of the We Are Lonely podcast is a part of Medibank's 10-year commitment to reduce chronic loneliness in Australia.
Follow the journey of 4 diverse 20-somethings on their search for connection.
It's shocking enough to know that half of us will feel lonely this week, but it may surprise you more to learn that young adults are some of the loneliest people in Australia.
If we learn to understand and manage feelings of loneliness, it can be a normal part of the spectrum of human emotions.
Just as we all get hungry or thirsty, we all get lonely. It's a normal part of being human.
But if it becomes chronic, it can have the same impact on us as smoking 15 cigarettes a day.
Over this 6-part reality podcast series, 4 young people meet with mentors and experts who will help them build strategies to reconnect.
Through their stories, we understand the reality of loneliness in Australia, experienced by a generation that theoretically has never been more connected.
Follow 4 vastly different young adults as We Are Lonely unpacks the complexity of emotions that come with this formative period in our lives.
We Are Lonely is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Search for We Are Lonely and listen today. This episode of Filthy Casuals is brought to you by our friends over at NordVPN.
Close, personal friends who I can communicate with, even though they're in other parts of the world, by using NordVPN. I was going to jokingly, but no, NordVPN.
You can use their own products to communicate with them.
That's great.
The call is coming from inside the building.
NordVPN is a very useful VPN service that I actually do personally use, used recently for a variety of different things. You can travel the globe.
Name three of them.
Certain use cases people could use them for.
Sure.
Checking prices of hotels in other countries. When you go to another country, they can be different regionally. You can also get different content on streaming services.
Oh, yes.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yep. I'll tell you what I used it for recently.
Okay.
You being in Vietnam and being able to access the streaming services that I pay for at home that are global services, but for some reason won't play if you're in a different country.
Look, terms and agreements may dictate some things with different services. Who knows? Not me. I've never read a fucking goddamn thing of them. But
disclaimer. Who knows?
I do know that NordVPN is a good value and a reliable service that you can install on a variety of devices.
Yes.
Apple TVs are even getting an update, so you can use VPNs on them, which is great.
Super easy.
You know what I recommend? I recommend
NordVPN.
Well, yes. But I specifically recommend going to nordvpn.com/filthy. And if you sign up for a 2-year plan, which is also like already a better value deal than the 1-year plan, you get 4 months free.
That's more. No, that's exactly a season. No, that's more than a season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You can feel two different temperatures during the whole time you've been getting your 3 months.
It's more than one physical season, and you can watch multiple seasons of TV shows during that time.
Oh, yeah.
NordVPN.com/filthy is the place you need to go right now.
Another place you need to go right now is over to our friends at Manscaped.
Double tab this one.
Save a tab group.
Yep.
And you go to manscaped.com using the code filthy during checkout.
At least there's only one thing to remember, and that's filthy.
Keep it filthy. Do not use the products that you purchase from Manscaped so that you remain filthy.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, do use them because they're great personal grooming products. They've just brought out the Beard Hedger, which is a really good little clipper thing for, guess what, a beard.
Yes.
They've got applications for hair all over the body now.
They certainly do.
The Lawnmower 4.0, the big meat and potatoes boy who's good for
shaving your meat and potatoes.
Getting them nice and edible for a Sunday roast. They've got a ton of other stuff. Go have a look at it.
The Weed Whacker 2.0.
It's good. They make good products, and manscaped.com is where you go to get them. Use the code filthy at checkout, and you will get yourself 20% off. And free shipping.
That's such a good deal.
We got deals all over the place here.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
So you get over there and make the best of your life. Not the most, the best.
The best. Yeah, support the guys that support us.
Yeah.
And now, on with the damn show.
I did play some more Tears of the Kingdom after having, not played it for, I don't know, a few weeks. And having played some other stuff, finishing off like Jedi Survivor, went back to Tears of the Kingdom, and it doesn't run well.
No.
It really, not having, been sort of sunk into it, coming back to it fresh.
Playing some like Final Fantasy 16 in the interim.
Totally. Yeah. Like just running through a field, it's like the grass is a low frame rate.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's just a shame.
It's like one of those things, and you can emulate that game pretty easily is my understanding, and it's annoying to have ways of playing that game that are better than the real way.
Yeah.
That's a frustrating position to be in, but, did you guys hear they're making a Switch 2? So it might get fixed soon.
Hey!
I've heard rumors about it, I don't know.
Okay.
But,
No, I hadn't heard.
It's a bit like that thing of,
I've been tuned out.
A big part of their decision making at the moment is, what do we call this thing? Because they just don't want to fall into a Wii U trap again.
Yeah.
They're like, we can't just call it Switch 2. That's so stupid, but
Super Switch
does make the most sense.
It's like for the PlayStation for like 10
exactly.
Of them.
Yeah. Exactly.
I think they're up to 10.
Yeah, I think so.
The PS5 is the 10th.
But again, like the Switch, they it's so tapped into millennial nostalgia. Calling it the Super Switch.
Super Switch is good.
Yeah.
It's a cool name, but I do think they'd be getting into that same Wii U problem of like, is this just the Switch
which
Pro?
Hasn't been a massive problem before, like the Super Nintendo and like the 3DS and stuff.
Yeah,
the
just
Wii
true.
U was the only time that really fucked them.
They had the wrong marketing team.
Yeah.
Just and they know now. They've got to get that right. So, yeah.
It's like if you go back to a PS1 game or something where there's like 10 minutes of with the Tears of the Kingdom thing, like, oh, what the hell? And then you forget.
Once
you're adjusted, you're adjusted.
Yeah, true.
I adjusted to thinking in the, I guess, just third dimension, but some things are visible and some things aren't because I played through Viewfinder.
Oh, yeah. I haven't gotten to pick this up yet.
Over the little break. Did you play... You played the demo?
I did. I haven't played the game yet.
Right.
But the demo is like a bunch of different segments from like all around the game.
Right. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because yeah, the Viewfinder is a first-person puzzle game where you are able to take photographs, either by taking them off of a table or by later on capturing them with a piece of photography equipment.
Camera.
That's like a description of what a camera would be in Pikmin. Piece of photography equipment.
If the photo has a bridge, you can hold up that 2D photo of a bridge and then go, I'll put it there.
Yep.
And the bridge will appear kind of behind it. The way it sort of functions, it seems like, is that you pick up this object that is like moving an invisible piece of level geometry around.
Yeah.
And then you put it down and it's there.
Yep.
That's
probably what it is.
Yeah.
Wow, you've seen right through to the Matrix.
And
there.
Honestly, it made the game feel way easier than I wanted, which was...
You're moving level geometry, but you just can't see around the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really feels like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Tears of the Kingdom. Like you're moving a bridge around in that, but there's a big fucking photo in your way.
Yep.
But it uses it cleverly where later on you have like these stationary cameras and you have to figure out what order to do things in, or you can like take a photo of yourself in front of the camera and then you can teleport yourself by putting that down.
Right.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah,
like it keeps coming up with new ideas in a good way where all of them only get used to the minimum amount where you'll stop enjoying them.
Right.
Or the
maximum?
Just before you stop enjoying them.
Both the minimum and the maximum.
The minimum
the exactly
amount.
Right Goldilocks amount.
Yeah.
It gives you the minimum amount of
what
enjoyment.
What it does, honestly.
It's good for like 10 seconds.
And then it moves on.
Honestly, it's not far off of that because everything felt... It was over within a flash for me.
Right.
Oh, it didn't. What are you talking about?
Piece of photography equipment flash.
Ezra Miller.
We
do not say that name on this podcast.
Yeah, now I have to bleep that. it was like a little easier than I expected, I guess.
Yeah, it's not like a Witness or something like that where it's like it really gets the old brain ticking over.
You think it's going to really ratchet up and it sort of just stays at this
early
level?
It introduces new stuff that I just found to be, and hey, maybe I'm just a genius.
Okay, so it's not that. What's the other explanation?
Yeah, it's like...
What's the opposite of genius?
It's such a cool idea.
Yeah.
That then it if you have spatial reasoning, you can figure everything out quite quickly.
Sure.
But it looks nice. There's like a little very modern first person puzzle game story where it's like lots of recordings around that you're listening to the people who were here before you talking about what they were doing and that sort of thing. That's okay.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like decent if you like this sort of puzzle game, like The Witness, like Maquette, like the ton of sort of first person puzzle games that have been super liminal.
Yep.
It's very much of that breed and it's enjoyable and it's certainly like not bad at all. It's just, it's over a little quick.
I was going to say, yeah, especially compared to I think all of those examples, it's a little bit shorter and a little bit more simplistic.
Seems like the sort of thing where maybe they'll do like a DLC pack or something that's got some like extra tough
maybe
levels in it.
Yeah, I think The Witness is such a high bar for this type of game too.
Right.
Yeah. That almost showed up before so many of these types of games did that it's like not been surpassed.
It's like the it's the Firewatch of first person, because like Firewatch inspired all of these story based walking simulators that I don't think we're anywhere near as good as that.
And I guess Gone Home and stuff like that was a bit before Firewatch, I suppose.
But yeah, I think the lag of like having a couple of really good ones,
yeah,
and then 5 years later having a lot of okay ones.
And it's every open world game we were going like, well, Breath of the Wild, Breath of the Wild, Breath of the Wild, and now we're going, well, Tears of the Kingdom, Tears of the Kingdom. So it's like, you know, not the most. So it's worse than the best one. Okay, also.
If you like the best one, it's just probably want to play some other similar ones.
Totally. I think it's more that just there is an example of getting this enormous amount of satisfaction and exploration of a cool idea from that game.
Yeah.
That doesn't pay off in the same way with Viewfinder, even though I did enjoy it. And if you like this type of game, you probably will enjoy it also.
Yeah, how much is it? Full game.
Like $40. $38, something like that.
That is why I have not gone in yet.
Yeah, and it was maybe, I don't know, 3 to 4 hours or something like that.
Yeah. Sounds like a wait for a sale
It could situation. Be. It, but also, I think it's quite a small team who made it and stuff like that, and it's a cool idea.
Bunch of Pikmin.
They're actually quite big teams of small guys.
Okay.
I was going to say, you're waiting for a sale like a pirate.
That would be so frustrating if you're a pirate. Shop is out.
Hey, I'm reading One Piece and I'm up to like book 5 and he's only just gotten a sale.
Oh, we got to go to that One Piece cafe.
We do.
Oh, it's like in Melbourne Central, is it? Yeah, yeah, we got to do
the
that.
The sale shipment's been delayed because the ship that was going to go get them doesn't have a sale.
Exactly.
So we're kind of fucking stuck here.
I like that all of these bad jokes were like under the noise gate, hopefully, so you can just edit them all out.
Yeah, but decent game.
Nice.
Not too bad. Viewfinder.
Now, what did you think of a little game called I'm Mickey Mouse and I'm Jumping Around?
And I'm here to say,
I don't know if you downloaded the right game.
Is it Disney's? Or is it just Disney?
I don't know.
Disney's Illusion Island?
Or Disney Illusion Island. Disney's makes more sense.
Yeah.
Disney's Illusion Island.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse.
Name them all. I bet you can't.
Mickey. Donald. Minnie.
Yep.
Goofy. And Mickey and Donald and Goofy and Minnie on my t-shirt.
And the something? What are they called?
The Tungos. Some
Toku,
word like that.
Tofu. Man.
Now, for 3 self-confessed Disney adults, the release of this game was like Christmas Day for us, wasn't it, boys?
We all got into our Disney princess cosplay and zoomed each other.
It was like Christmas Day, a day I regularly ruin.
I proposed to my girlfriend on Splash Mountain. I'm the ultimate Disney adult. I met when I went to Disney World, I met so many couples having their honeymoons there.
Nice.
Because I was kind of...
You met them?
Well, weirdly...
Hello, I'm Tommy.
Well, I was...
Were you taking photos?
I was weirdly... So I think you guys know this. There was an ex of mine got a job working at Disney World.
Okay.
And I went over there. I was in the States and then I went over there. We met up in New York. She went back to work. I went to visit her there in Disney World. And she... There was like a couple of days where she was working. And so I was just weirdly an adult man walking around Disney World by myself. So I did end up in like a lot of lines and on a lot of buses, just solo. Then, of course, Disney adults want to chat to a stranger.
Yes.
Because a stranger's just a friend you haven't met. And just like, these like newly married couples in like the matching shirts and the Mickey ears.
The
like
Florida one, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, deeply in love, holding hands, gazing into each eyes, being like, we're on our honeymoon. There's just something weird about, you know, a couple dressed as Mickey and Minnie and knowing that they're on their honeymoon and that they're just... on their way back to the root.
Really?
It's like such a strange, just like, really just caressing each other on the bus. It's a strange vibe.
Like hugging Pluto 11 minutes after you've had sex.
Yeah, totally.
It's really...
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
It's a strange vibe.
Salt and sugar kind of... That's not. Well, actually, they can mix something. Anyway, Disney's...
Salted caramel. Oh, so nice.
True. One of the main ones.
Yeah.
Disney's Illusion Island is like kind of a spiritual sequel-ish type of thing to the like Castle of Illusion type games, but made into more of a mini Metroidvania.
Oh,
fucking hell.
Yeah, dude. I wrote that one down in a notebook yesterday.
Got my little pen with the mouse ears on the top out. Scribbled that one out.
It's a very, you know, it's for kids and it's in the style of animation of like there is a newer set of Mickey Mouse cartoons that look like this.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And very like angular Cartoon Network kind of style.
Right.
animation. Mm-hmm. Everything I've read about it is like it's a Metroidvania without combat. So it's basically
there's enemies to avoid, but
you can't even jump on them like a Mario. You have to jump around them.
Non-violence,
like a House of Pain,
I guess. And you're it's like this animation style is like very well done in terms of it being translated from the show to the game.
Yeah,
there's like intros and cutscenes and stuff, and even in the game, it looks pretty close to how that cartoon looks, but I don't like how that cartoon looks personally.
No, I agree.
I don't mind it. I don't mind the actual animation, but the actual look of the game, it feels a little flash gamey in how it looks and the movement. And I've only just done the very, very beginnings of it. It's since this got announced, it's kind of bothered me that it's a follow on to the Illusion games from the 90s in name only. It has no similarity to the sort of setup of them, the vibe of them, the gameplay of them. I kind of wish that they had have made a proper, like the Donald and Mickey one where they're doing a magic act and they get sucked into their magic bag and then they're in like Alice in Wonderland world. Like this just being a kind of new invented world of these little creature guys is a bit, I think there's so much to work with in the Disney canon that they could have made it a little more interesting in that respect. But
it is kind of funny that it does, it feels like Mickey and so on making a cameo in someone else's world.
Yep. Mm.
Because they get invited to a picnic that's fake because they've been talking to someone on Tinder.
Yeah.
And then they get catfished into
Probably a Disney adult, honestly.
Helping out this group of people who've lost some fucking bullshit, some books that they need.
It feels like, and this may shock you, a children's cartoon.
Totally.
Mm. Like, that's what it feels like. Again, like, similar to Pikmin, where this game is not made for me, for my taste, but I do think it's well made.
I agree. I think there is a kid out there, there are a bunch of them, hopefully, who this game will be a revelation to them, because if this is your first, kind of straightforward and simple platformy Metroid-y style game, but with more and more building on top of it as you go further in, and it gets to and I've been like enjoying it as like this
for
what it is, like as a game for kids. I think it's really cool.
Not just a game
for kids, but because it's couch co-op, it's very much feels to me like dad sits the kid down and teaches them about
you have to play this whole game and smoke this whole pack of cigarettes so you learn your lesson.
It feels very much like a not just like we'll give this game to our kid and what it's like, hey, I'm going to sit down and sort of introduce this genre of game to my kid through this very, like, there's no combat. Like, it's very, it's, like, kind of easy, but, lower stakes kind of way of introducing someone to a Metroidvania.
But it's not, like, crazy easy.
No, it's not, like, condescendingly easy. No. It's like, because, there's difficult jumps. Like, you still have to do all of the platforming stuff. You've got to time stuff and you got to, avoid things and you can... Like, you can be good at it as well.
Right.
Know? Like, it's not just a complete lack of challenge. Like, if you...
And it's got cool style to it, in spite of what I was saying before. Like, there's... You unlock, like, a... what is it? Like, a double jump or a thing that lets you jump further, and they each character gets their own little visual thing. So,
The Goofy's wall jump
a little
one,
spicy pepper that he's, like, flying around on. There's cool little touches like that where they've just gone... Rather than just make him flutter his legs and move a bit further, we'll think of like a fun, creative little... And all the animation of the characters is well done.
Mm. Yeah.
It's more just like the environmental design is a little... I don't know, a little flashy.
Mm. Reminds me weirdly of like the first Rayman game for some reason. Yeah. Remember there was like that piano world?
Yep.
And it sort of has that sort like...
Yeah, I agree.
It's got great music. It's got great... Disney really sort does. Of like walking down Main Street of Disney World, kind of like
big orchestral.
Yeah, things. Yeah.
And like as like an introduction to this type of game, I think it does it really effectively. Mm. Like it's giving you very clear direction of where to go next.
Mm. Yeah.
And that sort of thing. And as you get more and more of the abilities and whatever, the controls, you have to think about a bunch of stuff and you have to put together, okay, well, this symbol means this, so I should go back there to get this other collectible thing. You're collecting like these little bits of memorabilia and cards that show you the characters. when you're collecting the cards, you do not know these characters yet too. So you're getting these random non-Disney people showing up.
And it's like, yeah.
Grawbox is the keeper of the Clumbo.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, fuck, dude. That ain't Ariel. I don't know who you're talking about.
Like, because there's that Disney, what's it called? Disney Speedway or something game that's like a free-to-play racing game that they brought out quite recently. And that just seems a bit like callous, cash-grabby kind of thing. But then they make kind of like...
The Animal Crossing knockoff as well.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That was, and then they make this kind of like vibey platformer that's like such a cool way to like... introduce a younger or unfamiliar audience to this style of game, and they just it's weird that they wouldn't put more of that stuff into this, because this is the place to really flex out with it.
It does it is like noticeably not bland, but like
maybe it's the Flash game thing, it felt low budget.
Yeah,
like it felt like it was well made by people who, for weirdly for a Disney game, this is why I was sort of like pondering over, like, it feels weirdly simplistic and, you know, because, like, there's good animation, but not all of it's good animation. Some of it's, like, you know, just, like, static, or it's a bit more simplistic than others. And some of the ideas are creative, and then some of the other ones are completely uncreative.
Yeah, it feels like voice acting for, like, the cutscenes, and then most of the time, though, you're talking to text box people.
Yeah. It feels like a company was sort of working on their own version of this. Like, maybe they had an idea of, oh yeah, Metroidvania without combat, and then somehow or other got involved with Disney, and this is all just sort of like slapped on the top a little bit.
I'm sure the show as well, like, I've not seen this incarnation of Mickey Mouse, but I'm sure the show could be like, every week we go to some new weird world.
Type of thing.
I kind of want to show this to my...
It's kind of funny sometimes. Like, it's well written for a kid's cartoon.
Yeah. It's, I think. It's very... It's hit and miss, which is the case with comedy anyway. But yeah, some parts are very like... They go into this picnic and they show up, and then the person is like, so there's no picnic. I've tricked you all into coming here so you can help me. And then Goofy will be like, so where are the sandwiches?
Like, exactly. It's cute cartoon writing, you know.
Yeah. Donald's there was furious one bit, that there's no picnic, which I quite like. Mm-hmm. He just storms off.
I always forget that Donald's Duck's thing is that he's a fucking asshole.
He's an angry sailor.
He's furious, massively problematic duck. But there was one thing that really pissed me off that has nothing to do with anything, and this is no criticism. But do you know the thing, if you're watching something and your brain comes up with a different joke and then you're mad that it doesn't happen?
Yeah.
They're like, where's Goofy? They hear Goofy. They're like, where's Goofy? They look over and there's a tree that's the shape of Goofy. And a like little bush next to it. But Goofy walks out from behind the tree that's shaped like Goofy. Mm. And I was furious that he doesn't pop up from behind the different bush.
Yeah, that's funny.
Of course he fucking should.
Or just from the side of screen. Like, not behind the tree.
Yeah, they pan back over and he's standing behind them.
Right,
whatever.
Exactly.
Just fucking hell, Mickey. Get it together, dude.
But do like, a second fucking draft, mate.
Come on, Walt.
he's doing well for a frozen head.
Yeah.
I haven't tried the co-op stuff. Now. None of us have with a kid, I would assume. No. But it does seem, like the new Super Mario Brothers type of thing. If you're all in there.
You're leaping around.
But you can have kind of a driver.
It's especially good for, maybe someone with young children. Because then you can totally guide them through it.
My girlfriend's nephew he's 4 and he loves Mickey Mouse. Every time he comes around to our house, he wants to watch that.
This is his fucking game, dude.
Yeah, not this version of Mickey Mouse. There's like the other one that's CGI that he is only ever allowed to watch at our house. His parents keep it as the little treat round our joint.
Right. It's and too ungodly. They don't show it in their house. 3D
as you can imagine, he's just fixated on every little fucking controller and doodad that's in our house that belongs to me. And his parents are always like, oh, no, maybe another time you can have a go of that. And
it's so funny that, like, as a kid, you know, being an adult must be great. You can have every video game, Most of the time you learn, that's not what being an adult's like.
Yeah.
And then he goes around to your house. He's like, they're eating ice cream for fucking dinner.
It is a bit like that around our joint. But I think his parents are really worried that through me he's going to be exposed to a video game and absolutely have the beast awakened. Mm-hmm. And I really have been thinking, next time he's round, I'm going to go through a bit of Disney Illusion Island with him.
Yeah.
I feel like this is that. This is a Beast Awakening game.
Yeah.
I really think that I, like, can imagine myself as a 5 or 6 year old. Because I've been kind of enjoying it, playing it now.
Yeah, it's not bad by any
means. More and more gray hair showing up in my head every single day. I don't mind Mickey.
Hey, that's a chill week. A Pikmin 4, a Disney Illusion Island. Dude. It's just like pretty, just chilling out.
Life's a bell curve, man. You're going to go from baby to now. You're on the way back to baby.
I'm already there, so I guess I've already hit the peak of the bell curve.
Well, you just were a flat line.
Yeah. It's cool for that, but don't go in expecting like
Super Metroid.
No.
Yeah. But yeah, I could definitely recommend this if you got kids around and you're looking for a good thing to kind of introduce them to, because I think even
this might be like the second step. Getting a bit more into like slightly more advanced kind of stuff.
Because I think even your new Super Mario Brothers have enough going on that's like a little tricky to explain, where this seems maybe a bit more of like a bit of a softer introduction.
I think the thing of when you realize as well you're not interacting with these enemies other than avoiding them, it's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah, I think that is the thing that I was most surprised by, that it has an element to it. Because I expected it to be like, this will just be an easy version of this game. Mm. But it is cool that it's got something conceptually interesting to it beyond just like taking out an element of challenge. It's like, yeah, what if there was a version of this style of game where, because that's the bit of those games that I find the most interesting is the like opening new areas and the getting the abilities. Right. I'm never like that psyched on the combat. So just someone going, yeah, what if it was just all that? And who really cares
about it? It moves quick as well. Yeah. There's a little bit too much backtracking stuff at points that I think as well, if you were maybe younger and newer to this, you're newer if you're younger, but newer to this concept, but just innately if you're younger, you're newer.
Yeah, that's true.
Whoa.
They should have called it New Sheldon.
the
having a kid and then being like, hey, do you guys want to come and meet my new person? I've created a new person.
Yeah, we got a new bloke round. Just came out, just released.
New bloke just dropped.
This new guy. This new little guy.
This new guy.
Yeah.
They might get a bit, because like you can go into the map and see where you're meant to go, but it's a little, yeah, and it tells you. They'll probably be fine. I don't know what kids can do.
Yeah, I feel like when I was a kid and like, you know, games were a bit more, maybe harder, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think getting lost, I just assumed was part of the challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't just like a frustrating game design thing. It was like, oh shit, well, I guess I got to figure it out.
Totally. There are a lot of games I realize I only played the first level or maybe two of again and again and again because of that thing.
Yeah.
And like those old Mickey Castle of whatevers were harder than this.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
And they were still just as much for kids back then. So it's cool. This thing's all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Neat little game.
As if you take it for what it is.
Well, that is going to do us for this week. We'll be back next week. We got, what do we got? We got some boulders.
Oh, yes. I'm going to be boulders deep in it. I'm really looking forward to playing that game.
Yeah, me too.
It's creeped up more and more.
I've played that whole first act and I'm ready to play it again.
You'll have to.
Yeah.
But they are saying like we've changed heaps.
Yeah. It's cool. Yeah, I'm psyched. That's going to be all I'm going to do.
Fuck
for a week.
Same, I reckon.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. Filthycasuals.com.au in the meantime for all the things we're doing. We've got the Patreon. Get on there. Get yourself a bonus episode every week.
Bonus episode, by the way, for people who don't know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
We should explain very clearly, even though July just went and everything, it is a whole separate, totally bonus, unique
podcast of its own.
Separate podcast. There's some other word that means separate that for some reason.
Standalone?
That'll do it. It's all about pop culture. So we review movies and TV shows and stuff like that. I've been reading a Rick Rubin book.
Okay. I read a Rick Rubin book on holiday.
It's probably the same Rick Rubin book.
I don't think it is. He's in it, but it's not by him.
Right.
Scar tissue.
Yep.
I might not even talk about that because
we will definitely be talking Barbie and Oppenheimer.
We
on
shall.
The upcoming bonus episode. Yeah, so yeah, it's not just more video games talk. It is a wholly unique standalone
and the
podcast.
People that get it love it. We were talking at one point about changing it to be more video game content.
Yeah,
and we put it to the patrons and a lot of them said, I subscribe to this to hear you talk about movies because I don't listen to the free show.
yes.
So what more of an endorsement could you get?
Yeah.
It's fun. Have a check out if you've not.
Yeah.
If you missed out on Giant July and now you're here in August.
And I mean, you get, aside from the live event, although you do get the recording of it, you do get all of the July stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, put a bunch of stuff up on there all the time.
Yeah,
it's a bit of fun. Go have a look. See if it works for you.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us here in August. And we'll see you next time, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
CDs nuts were replaced by DVDs nuts, which were then replaced by Blu-rays your dick and let me see those nuts.
Oh!
Another notebook in my mind one.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.